Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to episode 18 of the Video Games Now podcast. My name's Rodney, and I'm joined by Will.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? I'm back.
Yes, you've been a while, and same with you, Mark. Hello.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, everyone?
And we have a special guest today. It's our first female gamer on the podcast, and her name's Alex. Hello.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I guess I would start off with saying that I wouldn't actually consider myself a female gamer. More of like a casual female gamer, I guess. Not a full-fledged. Haven't gotten my gaming wings yet.
Does that mean you're a mobile gamer, or just like, what are you saying?
Well, when I was growing up, I had PC games. I played The Sims growing up. Like, had every edition of that, every expansion pack. I had a Nintendo Wii through my mom's work. We got it. But I've never actually owned a console, but I've like had boyfriends and stuff and played with them. But I've never actually had a PS4 or Xbox, so.
All I got out of that was all the boyfriends I had, and I'm sure someone in the room is very upset.
I'm Mark's girlfriend, so privileges.
All right, so today we got we're going to talk about Fortnite Season 4 to start, and then we're going to get into some MMO topics, and it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, guys, here we go. Everything's coming up right now. All right, Fortnite Season 4, Mark, you've been playing some of that, eh?
Yeah, I have been. That was pretty cool. I like that intro there. Season 4 is out. The Season 4 pass is out. And, dude, it's awesome. I didn't know they have, like, a little movie cinematic in the beginning. So, like, I had an update. It was, like, a 15-minute update. And then after that was done, it was just, like, a huge trailer. And it was actually really funny. So two guys are looking up into the sky and a meteor is going to hit them, and all these meteors are crashing down through the movies, through all the houses, and two guys look up and they're like, uh-oh, meteor's coming, and one guy's got a chug jug and the other guy grabs the chug jug, starts chugging, and then starts to run. It was pretty funny, but the landscape has changed quite a bit. Dusty Depot is out, and then like there's a big crater, and there are these things that you can... These craters are all around the map. Like, they've hit Moisty Mire, around Lucky Landing. They're scattered all throughout the map. And but you can get these things in the craters that give you super jump for 30 seconds. And it is, yeah, it's awesome.
Just changing the whole mechanics again for the fourth time, I guess.
Well, it's just, it only lasts for 30 seconds, and you get it, and your body goes purple, and you can fly for a bit kind of thing.
I like how they added in the guided missile, and then they realized how OG that was, and they're like, yeah, we'll take that out right now.
Yeah, that was terrible. That needed to go.
I saw a video. Someone told me, oh, they have a guided missile now in Fortnite, I was like, yeah, someone's going to rocket ride a guided missile right into their base. And then I literally saw a video a day later of someone doing that. I was like, yeah.
Well, you can still do that. People still rocket ride. It's like on Sea of Thieves, right? When you shoot out of the cannon, you have to set your angle, and then a guy will just jump, and then you have to jump off before. I like watching some of the pros when you're rocket riding, they get the sniper out, and then they're just like riding the rocket, boom! And then they knock guys, they get so pumped.
Yeah, they get paid lots of money on Twitch as well. Alex, you played some Fortnite last night with Mark, yeah?
I did. We took turns.
Are you a pro gamer at that or what?
Well, I placed top 20, number 20 on the map, because I like to play the hide approach to it. Kills don't really matter much to me, just my safety and self-preservation.
So you're saying you're a busher in Fortnite. I'm also a busher in solo, in duo, and squad. I'm totally not a busher, but I'm totally busher in solo.
See, no, that's, I'm not about that. I don't like necessarily going tilted all the time or going to a high traffic area. But what I like to do is I like to like my best rounds is when I get a house, I get to loot up quickly, so I get shields, I get a couple shotguns and an AK, and then I like to go find people, and then I like to get into like building fights with them. Now that's the thing, is I want to like, if you want to get good at Fortnite, you gotta like get good at the whole building aspect of it too.
Yeah, my building skill sucks. But when you play on the 50 versus 50 mode, you don't need to build because like everybody else builds for you, and then there's these massive structures that you can take cover behind.
Oh, come on, Ronnie, that's weak. You like getting good at games too, right? Like, you gotta get good at building. You gotta at least give it a try. You have a PC. It's so much easier on PC. I'm struggling learning to do it on a controller. You can just literally flick your wrist and click and press a key, and then your walls are being built for you, and you just gotta get really fast at it. It's like a few days of like getting frustrated, and then all of a sudden like you'll start seeing a difference when you know what to do. And man, now I'm addicted. It's really fun.
Yeah, I just have a lot of care that goes into things that I build that are not with my hands, because I can't build a freaking table. Four legs and a top, I can't build it. But yeah, no, in Fortnite or even in Sea of Thieves, even when I'm driving the boat, I take so much pride in parking that boat like a boss.
Exactly.
So, all right, guys. So you guys, Will, you've been really quiet. You haven't played Fortnite in a long time or what?
I haven't really played Fortnite in a little while. I've been stuck back on Elder Scrolls Online. I've been playing a lot of Sea of Thieves. I've also been playing God of War. God of War really has my time right now, so that's pretty much the only thing I'm focused on.
See, now you're going to lend it to me after, but I want to hear a bit about this game. Like, all I keep hearing is everyone telling me it was awesome. I never played the first, second, or third, so.
Well, if you joined us on the last podcast, we talked all about it, so you missed out.
I did.
I will say one thing without spoiling anything. Kratos has to be the worst dad I have ever seen.
Okay, I guess I have that to look forward to when I play it.
You'll be able to not make his mistakes in the future.
Okay, so not to learn from Kratos. Don't take fathering tips from Kratos. I got it.
And Alex is all quiet about that comment, too.
Yes.
All right, guys. Moving on here. Let's talk about some MMO stuff. So, I mean, I am not an avid MMO player, but I've definitely played quite a few in my life. I've played Guild Wars, Terra, and a few others. What about you, Mark?
MMOs, I've played, well, if we're going with MMORPGs, I've played Warcraft, obviously, Elder Scrolls Online, and Guild Wars. I started with Guild Wars 2.
As did I. What about you, Will?
All right, I started with Warcraft. I moved on to, I think it would have been Lord of the Rings, the MMO for that. Then I went on to Guild Wars 2, and I did dabble a little bit with DC Online. And then Elder Scrolls now.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Do you guys have any issues with the MMOs that you play? Like, is there anything that turns you away after a certain amount of time or what?
Depending on what the developer has for endgame content for me. Like, if, like, when you're max level and you have the best gear and you have everything, it's now what? So if you have a lot to do endgame wise, then I'll stick around for sure.
I completely agree with your comment there, Mark. Another thing I'm going to bring up, though, is I think for a person to really enjoy MMOs, they have to be okay with one thing, and that is grinding. It's either grinding for levels or grinding for gear. An MMO is nothing. Sure, you can jump in right away and enjoy the game, but if you want to do any of that end-level content, like the trials, the raids, You literally have to get the gear to be efficient at whatever role you're going to play. As that, if you're going to be a damage dealer, a healer, a tank, whatever that role is, you have to be able to efficiently pull it off.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And there's two things that turn me off from MMOs once I start playing. And the first one is grinding. It's like when you're working out and they're like, just do 15 reps and you do 10. You're like, that's good enough. You know, I'm just going to quit right here. It's the grinding. And then if it's not the grinding, it's definitely the PvP. Because like you said, like there's all these people that do put the work in and do all the grinding and get all the good stuff, all the good weapons, all the good everything. And then you're like, oh, I'm just going to fight this guy. And they just like destroy you. And it just kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, for Elder Scrolls, for example, it's you can't even do the PvP until you're 720. Well, you can. There's non-champion and there's champion, but it's all based on your gear and how hard you've grinded, like Will was saying. But it's fun. It's like you kind of take pride into how you build your character, and you want him to like destroy and be awesome. So you got it. You kind of put the extra time in. You get the extra gear, and then there's no greater feeling when you're in PvP and you're just murking people.
I'm going to bring up, especially for Elder Scrolls, there's an event, the anniversary event that was 2 weeks long that Mark and I really put time into. I created another 3 characters, got them up to 50, so now they have my champion levels. But I needed gear for them, so for 3 days, nothing, basically just for 3 days straight, all I did was grind one dungeon so I could get 2 pieces of gear.
That's too much. That's too much. So how long did you say?
3 days straight to get 2 pieces of gear and divines. Because I got the jewelry really fast on the first day, and then to get like just even 2 pieces in divines took me 3 days.
Yeah, that's nowhere to lie. I was there with him. He was doing it, and it's the same. It's the same how it goes. Well, and that's why I'm kind of excited for. This new RPG that's kind of jumping ahead here, but the new RPG Ashes of Creation that's we don't know when it's coming out yet, but just all the new stuff that they're integrating into the MMO franchise.
Yeah, you have a description there on your phone, I'm sure, somewhere. But while you're pulling that up, Alex, have you played any MMOs?
Like I said, I've never had like a console, Xbox or PS4, so that type of game is something that I've never really played before. But even the kind of ones that I have played, I'm not very good, right? And there can be a lot of people that are not very nice online to you. And I don't know, maybe I never found anybody that was like that willing to help me. Unless they found out I was a girl and something.
Are you not exploiting the female benefits and getting all the free stuff?
Well, to be fair, that's the thing. People would just like come up and be like, hey, you want to trade? And I'd be like, yeah. And they'd be like, here's all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, here, I've got some bread. You want it, bro? And he's like, and he'd be like, no, no, no. And I'm like, well, I'm going to trade you something. You're just giving me all this free stuff. And then he'd just leave. And I'd be like, I don't, thanks. But yeah, no, people don't necessarily like it when you're on 13.
See, I know dudes pretend to be ladies so they get the free stuff. Mm-hmm. And then if they have a mic, it's like, oh, I just gave my free stuff away to some dude. Sucks.
I got to, as soon as you said that, there was one thing that jumped out to me on the first episode of Sword Art Online for the MMO. Do you remember that guy was with that girl at the beginning? And then after they had their appearances changed what they look like in real life, the guy was like a fat, like 30-year-old. That was the girl. He's like, you're a dude. Yeah.
Well, and also the thing for me personally is like I didn't have any friends that played games. Like I was never playing with other people. I was playing by myself, which it can be lame. But that's why I'm excited. I think we're going to get me a console. We haven't decided Xbox or PS4, and then I'll be able to play with you
guys.
Just
get all of them. Like I'm getting a PS4 now, so you got to get all of them.
But like personally, I'm more of like I lean towards the PS4 because Xbox is more of like Call of Duty. Younger, but well, back it has it changed? Isn't it mostly like young 12-year-old boys play, you know, Xbox, and PS4 is more for like story-driven, higher quality, better graphics.
Yeah, all the
story-driven, higher quality, better graphics is the PS4. Yes.
which is what appeals to me. That appeals to me.
I do think moving forward, Microsoft does have a bigger future in the market, at least for it more, I guess, not appealing to casual gamers, but now bringing back like the actual, you know, like the diehards. They have some great series that have to come back. We're not going to go into that, right? But we have E3 coming up. I think Microsoft's whole future this year will rely on what they do for E3.
I was talking about getting a Switch, too, because, like, it's either, like, she's always, oh, I want to play a multiplayer game for PS4. And then I took a look at couch co-op multiplayer games, and there's nothing. There's not. And, like, there are a few. I did look at a few, but they didn't look very good. So I was thinking, like, a Switch, because she likes Mario. She likes Mario Party and stuff. And they still make couch co-op games. So easy to jump into, easy to play.
I definitely think this year that Nintendo's going to blow us away at E3 with some great titles coming out later in the year. Like, they've already kind of teased Smash 5, which is, like, huge. That's going to sell some consoles for sure.
Are they going to make another Metroid? Metroid Prime?
Yeah, they already announced that. It's going to be sweet. They haven't had a Metroid Prime in, since the Cube. Oh!
I gotta also mention, we haven't seen anything of it. It was announced last year. There was a small article, I think, last month that mentioned that we'd hear about it at E3. And this is a big one for me because I have a Switch. I bought it on launch. Is the new Pokemon game.
The new Pokemon game for Switch?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that looks... It's going to be... I was going to say, oh, it looks awesome, but I haven't seen anything yet.
No, but the Switch has so many possibilities for graphical-wise, the power, the 3D... I really see the Switch taking the Pokemon franchise into a whole different direction.
Which is good, because nobody buys Nintendo systems for the graphics. Yeah. They buy it for the games, right? So, I mean, the fact that they're bringing finally a Pokemon game to the main console. But I mean, the whole reason they had it on the Game Boys was because it's Pocket Monsters. So why would you play it on a console? You play it on something that you can put in your pocket, right? So that now that the Switch is that, it's totally opening it up.
Well, for better graphics and making it that much better, you can't have an open world. Like, Pokemon should be like a mass multiplayer online, almost. It should be an MMORPG where you go out in the world, and that has to be on the console.
Yeah, see, if Mark was Mark joined us on time when we started this podcast way back in episode 3, we talked about this, and I'm sure you forgot about that by now, but yeah.
No, I haven't forgotten about it, and I heard that podcast, and we did talk about that, but it's still, I'm pretty sure I was the one that told you, and you said that, but it should be, right? And that would have to be on a console.
No, man, me and Will have been planning this out since, like, Christ was a child, so...
Yeah, this has been like, I guess, 3 years now almost. We've been planning out that thing, and, you know, it might happen, might not, but we gave our ideas. Is it episode 3 or episode 2?
It was episode 3.
Yeah, and I think it was like 20 minutes long that we talked about a Pokemon MMO.
Yeah, but I mean, we haven't made any sort of leeway on making this because we're not developers. I couldn't code my way out of a paper bag, so, you know.
Yeah, well... Could anything be bigger than Pokemon Go, though?
Yes.
Oh, come on. They caused traffic jams. Did you see? Everyone's seen the videos of, like, the people streaming into traffic just to catch rare Pokemon. Did you not see those?
No, I was there.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of the street with the people.
I got to mention one story. I remember I was coming home from a friend's house. I think it was a video game night. Or no, it was League of Legends World Championships. And he lives on this farmland kind of area, so it's basically really narrow road, but the car in front of me all of a sudden just stopped. It's like midnight, middle of the road, nowhere to like get around him, and literally he ran into the cornfield, and I don't know what he went and caught, but he was gone for like 5 minutes and I couldn't go anywhere.
There we go. See, that theme catches me off guard every time, the Starwolf theme. Yeah. It's badass.
But there's a technical difficulty.
I did want to bring up this one game that looks... that's making a lot of promises. It's Ashes of Creation, and it is by the Intrepid Studios. And just looking at this looks like... It's already debuted at PAX East, or it's on the it's Alpha was able to play at PAX East. But they're making a lot of bold promises that Fable did when it first came out. They're saying it's so pretty much it's set in the medieval times era. And it's like you discover, you reproduce, and you're populating this newly discovered land. And there's everything under the sun in it. Like politics, war, like... And it just, your every decision and consequence changes the whole scape of the game. I think if they can pull this, and not to mention that some of the combat looks amazing. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's not like the old, like, okay, like in ESO, where I press circle, square, triangle, triangle, circle, square. This looks like it's third person, but it's closer, and oh man, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, not a lot of things get Mark hot, but this game seems to be one of those things. You got me right, Alex?
He seems a little bit excited.
My spidey sense is tinkling on this, guys. This one is going to be a winner. It's obviously, there's no release date for it yet, but I can't wait already. This is one of those games I wait years and years and years for, and when it finally comes out, I'll say, I told you so.
I do want to bring up, after looking at some news here for the game, it does look like last year this game started as a Kickstarter.
Exciting, but also kind of disappointing, because that means it's probably years away from being finished production.
Well, I mean, there's probably like two people working on it then that are like, we just need money. We have the passion. We just need the money.
That's exactly, you know, all the videos I've seen. It's like a small group of guys, and they're just super passionate about MMOs, and they want to make the right one.
It's hard to find passion like that nowadays. You know, it's like, you just lead a bunch of sheep developers in a room and they're like, Kate, code this or do this or design this, and Kate, go. And there's just like zero passion anymore. But yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like, who needs NHL year 22,000, right? Although we were talking about what game was it? The basketball one? No.
That was NBA 2K18. We made a brief comment on it because it's actually pretty cool. There's like a create a player mode, and it kind of reminds me of like a little RPG where you can play against other players and you level up your basketball player and then you get skills for him.
Oh, is that cartoony one that I saw?
Yeah, and then you're actually running around in a little EA universe, and there's like Foot Locker, and then it's all microtransaction, but I'm into it. I'll spend the money.
Of course there's a Foot Locker.
Oh, there's a Foot Locker, tattoo parlor. There's like a whole, like, it looks pretty crazy.
I saw a trailer for that and I was turned off immediately. Like, I'm like not into basketball games at all. And that one just made me never want to play a basketball game ever again. Or actually ever, because I've never played one.
It's crazy because it's such a money grab, and it works for like fans and stuff like that. Like, you get your guy and he's like a 62 when you start, and then your other guys are running around, they're like 99. You're like, oh, I want to get like that.
Yeah.
And then you're hundreds of dollars in the hole with EA.
That seems to be EA's thing now, is microtransactions, eh? It's just kind of trashy. They should just make the game now.
I mean, and then they try and develop, like, they rush games, and then they, like, bring games out to the masses, and be like, here, we rush this crap, here, play it, and, oh, and by the way, we're going to charge you with all these microtransactions. It is infuriating, but what are you going to do?
I used to play Sims, right? And that used to be created by Matrix, I think it was Sims 1, and then Sims 2, EA got on board, and that's when, that was the best game, and then Sims 3, it just went downhill from there.
That was impressive. I did not know you knew that, and I guess she has played a lot of Sims.
Well, I mean, has there been any Sim games in the last, like, I played, like, no Sim games because it just, I'm already simulating my life here. I don't have to simulate some more people on a computer screen here.
You know what was a great underrated game, though, is The Sims Medieval. Have you ever heard of that game? So it's basically like set in medieval times, and like it's kind of like an RPG where you play it, and then there's this whole intense world with like these different religions and like the Sims, and it talks about the Watcher, and you are the Watcher because you're the player, and then they worship you as your god, but it's in oh my god, it's a great game. You really need to look into it. It's on PC. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we were all like, yes.
I've got.
No, it reminds me. It reminds me of ESO Online, except like, I guess just Elder Scrolls. It reminds me of Elder Scrolls, okay. But like a really shitty Sims version.
I gotta say the same thing as Rodney. I've already got one life to live. I can't worry about another.
That is exactly my sentiments too. It's like I picked up. I played the first one, and then I was like, huh. Why am I going online and like downloading furniture for this guy and like making sure he gets to work and all this stuff? When I gotta work in a few hours anyway.
They should be responsible for their own adult selves.
But really, I mean, you could use the same argument for all video games. And why don't you go for a run or a walk outside instead of running through, ESO or wherever. I couldn't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, Sims, I guess, is like a second life. ESO can't really become a second life because I don't like run around outside with a sword and a shield or, wave a magic staff around and making people burn up into like spontaneous flames.
Yeah, you literally. In The Sims, you're running another life, and in ESO, it's totally different.
No, it's like reading. It's not different at all. It's all fantasy. It's all fiction. It's like reading a fiction book versus reading like a fantasy fiction book. You're still playing make believe. That's what it is.
I think we're gonna fight about this all day, so we should just move on. We got a little bit off topic there because we were supposed to be talking about MMOs and we're not. Yeah. Talking about The Sims and how The Sims, I don't like them. And I just got an evil glare from Alex. But there's a new MMO coming out for the Xbox this year called Terra. Terra's been out for a long time, but it hasn't been on the Xbox yet. It's only been on PC. I played one playthrough of Terra, but I got to level 40. That seems to be my cap. I get to level 40, and I'm like, I'm kind of done this game now. I've done everything that I kind of wanted to do. But
did you beat the story? Was there a story in Terra? Or?
No, not really. It's if you're looking for something as story-driven as Guild Wars, like you won't find that at all with Terra. Guild Wars was very story-driven. It was probably one of the most story-driven MMOs that I've ever played, but the combat in Terra was a little bit more exciting than I found in Guild Wars. Guild Wars was like push one, push two, push three, cooldown. It just was super tedious. But this one, you can choose whatever skills you want and then combo them up and all that kind of stuff. So it was a lot more fun that way.
I haven't played Terra. I remember you telling me about it when it was first announced. Was that earlier this year or last year when they said they were doing a console version? And it does look interesting. I will probably look into it a bit more. If I could get my PC working, I'd probably download it right now. But I think for most part, I'll probably have to wait for the console release.
You've never played Guild Wars?
No. The only other PC game I've played is Fallout 5 on PC.
Okay, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Better than my fiance. She's played like Heyday, and she's just like super proud of it. It's like it's like Farm Simulator, basically. It's like really ridiculous. I talked about this on the last podcast too. It's just like, if I'm gonna run a farm, I'm just gonna go do it for real so I can get at least breakfast out of it.
I guess this is a good time any to mention Harvest Moon's coming out. So if Brittany wants to play Farm Simulator, Harvest Moon's right around the corner.
I've never played Harvest Moon, but that's a good point. She's been trying, like, obviously I'm a big gamer and she is not. I'm like afraid to ask her for the TV. Like, can I just play like anything that's on the TV? And then, so she's been trying to get into gaming. Like, I gave her my old 3DS and she's been playing like, Animal Crossing and, she likes side scroller. So I'm like, hey, try this one. Hey, try this one. I'm trying to get her in, but she's not hooking. So yeah, maybe Harvest Moon will take her away. You never know.
I did have a Nintendo DS, and I beat the Mario Kart game 100% on that game as well.
Along with all the other six-year-olds that did it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's so much fun, though. Jeez it. Good luck. That's why you just get two TVs.
Getting back on the topic a bit, for MMOs, another game that I'm really looking forward to, it's been out in Korea now for about 2 years. It's Black Desert Online. It's coming out now for the Microsoft, well, PC again, Xbox One and PlayStation 4. It's a different style MMO. The targeting system is a lot more advanced, where it's precise. You can't just aim in the direction and expect to hit the person. You actually have to be aimed right at the target. So it's going to be a bit more challenging to games I'm really used to, where, you know, if you lock onto an enemy, it's like instant hit. Where this one is doesn't really have that. It's basically precise targeting. So you always have to lock on. So if the target's moving, you kind of have to move your cursor with them.
Sorry, you lost me after aimbots. That's what everyone's going to be using in that game for sure.
Maybe for PC, but MMOs are usually a lot more diligent on having add-ons. Even for PC, there's like a lot of ones that are being allowed. Like even for Elder Scrolls, there's like add-ons that ZeniMax will allow that allow you to track a few things and stuff like that. But anything that helps you make your game better is always, if they find you using it, you're instant banned.
There's building bots in Fortnite, and then you just instantly see a guy just, and he's got this 10-foot tower in the air, but a lot of those people are getting banned.
I've never encountered a build bot. That's gotta be some terrifying, like, but if you had a rocket launcher, it's like, you're done. I'm gonna tumble you down.
There's been a lot more loot everywhere too, so not only is like, getting a little off topic, back onto the Fortnite season pass, season 4. There's a lot more loot everywhere. They've added another place, top right of the map, and then there's just like in Moisty Mire, there's just cities and towns now. That, and like every house has got like a couple treasure chests, and there's just loot everywhere.
That's good, because whoever actually went to Moisty Mire, like, nobody. Like, because you went there and found, like, a pistol and some ammo. You're like, great, well, thanks.
That's what they're trying to do now with the challenges, too. So they'll say, oh, hey, get 10 kills at Lucky Landing. So they're trying to spread it out now. They want to evenly distribute, the like, where people are landing kind of thing.
Yeah, because, like, 50% of the population goes to Tilted, let's be real. Tilted.
I cleared Tilted with a buddy yesterday for the first time, so I was pretty happy about that. Got those 6 kills.
I think I told this story before on this podcast, but I'll tell it again. I just remember my most fondest memory of Tilted Towers was when the snipers and revolvers game mode was on, and we went to the tall tower in the middle, and like 9 people landed there, including me and my teammate, and there was 1 sniper. And then the one guy got the sniper, and he couldn't even snipe with it. He's just like, well, mind you, everyone's like 2 feet away from him. So we just beat him to death, the 8 of us, with our pitchforks, our pickaxes. And so we beat him, and then we all had a nice little beat down with each other's pickaxes, and then me and my buddy won, so we got the sniper, and then we died like 2 minutes later, unfortunately, but...
Nice. You have to get it for the PC.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah, because I lent my Xbox One to my brother because I haven't played it in a while. So, we got to finish A Way Out, too.
We have to get back to that. I started the game with Mark as well, so I guess I have to finish that game twice. another game, Rodney, let's go back to Sea of Thieves. We were talking about aimbots. You remember that game we had on the weekend? How do you feel about that one?
That was a rate one smack in the face. That the aimbot system needs to be fixed like ASAP, because that's
PC have that problem too.
Well, it's cross compatible with PC and Xbox, right? So this guy was like underwater with a sniper, and he like headshotted Will on the helm. It was like, what? Like, it was ridiculous, and we were kind of raging. Me and Will were both kind of salty, like super salty, because we did a skull for it. Didn't get anything out of it. We played for 4 hours, and then like later I texted Will. I was like, yeah, sorry, I was salty on Sea of Thieves. He's like, yeah, sorry, I was salty on Sea of Thieves. So it was just that on top of the us not getting any loot with the aimbots. It was just super infuriating.
We literally chased the galleon that stole the key from Rodney after he got killed after the Fortnite or the Skull Fort for like 4 hours. They even got attacked by the Kraken.
They got attacked by the Kraken, and you guys still couldn't manage to like somehow get the key. Can you sneak onto the other person's ship while they're fighting the Kraken?
Yeah, Rodney did that while I was like driving the ship, and then they started bombarding us with cannonballs. So I went down below and tried to fix the ship, and I come up and they've like sailed us into like the black water and then dropped the anchor. And I was like, how did they get on the ship without even me noticing?
They had one guy dedicated to just boarding our ship. Like as we were chasing them, he kept shooting himself over towards our ship, and we there was one point when he did board our ship, and it was when I said, Will, go to the island, get some supplies because we're running low. And then, so he went to the island, and then of course he boards the ship, and I'm like, Will, get back here. And he's like, oh, I can't find my mermaid. And he like looked for his mermaid for like 5 minutes, I swear to God. It felt like 5 minutes. I'm sailing by myself, trying to fight this guy off, trying to parallel the whole, doing the solo game, which I'm okay at, but it's, yeah. Anyway, so he was on our ship, and I killed him, and then I was like, oh.
Nice, you got the kill. That's funny. They had like they were fighting the Kraken and you guys at the same time. You still couldn't get the key. Wow.
No, I think they had all the loot at that point because I forgot how we sank the first time. The skeletons.
The skeletons got us.
Because we were parked and we thought we were safe, and there's like two little cannons tucked away, and they just started lighting us up, and we sank, and we're like, oh.
We ran out of supplies.
Ah, it happens. Live to sail another day.
This is still my favorite game. Like, Sea Thieves. Like, yeah. I absolutely love this game.
It is fun, but I think, like we've talked about before, the DLC is going to be the deciding factor of if this is a game that I'll continue playing throughout the year.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hungering Deep comes out this month, so it'll be, I'm sure, picking up really quick. I'm still not Pirate Legend level, though. So, did you guys hear that apparently the first guy that became a Pirate Legend might have been a cheater? He might have like did some cheating mechanics or whatever?
He didn't cheat. What he did is, because he's a streamer as well, so everyone saw what he did, but he never really played the game himself. He got his streamers to start games and then grab all the loot, and then he joined their games just before they turned it in.
Yeah,
and he kept just doing that over and over and over again throughout the whole day. So he'd never do anything. He'd just jump into a new crew just when they're turning in the loot, get the XP, bail, jump onto another team, same thing over and over again. So he ended up hitting Legendary Pirate in like a week after launch.
See, but if you did it for reals, but what if his PvP skills suck and then he goes to a Skull Fort and he gets wrecked?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is it not ingenuity to think of that, to do it that way? I mean, it's kind of cheap, but that still takes a lot of time and dedication to do that.
The normal person can, because this guy's already got like thousands of followers on Twitch, or and he's streaming. So he just, everyone else is, oh, hey, are the popular streamers in our group? And then he's like, yeah, hey, guys, let's go turn all this stuff in. And then he just, that's greasy.
Basically, because I saw a video of how he did it, is he asked everyone that were playing and like while he was streaming, and then they'd send him like a private message with their gamer tag. He'd join in with them and so on and so on. So all his streamers were aware of it. They were helping him do it. I just don't think he should necessarily be called the first person to hit Legendary Pirate. I think it'll be the second guy. I can't remember his name. I think it was like Silver Fox or something. But from what I saw, he's a streamer as well, and he did it authentically with, I guess, putting way too many hours into Sea of Thieves.
Well, of course it's a streamer. It's going to be somebody who plays video games for a living,
yeah,
and not someone who has to put aside 4 hours of their weekend to play Sea of Thieves, right? So.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So talkative over there, Alex. It's just I just can't turn your mic off.
Yes.
But since we're already off topic, let's talk a little Sea of Thieves. We do have the DLC coming out. What is that, the end of May? Or
it's supposed to be this month sometime.
Yeah. That's the Hungering Deep. Is that also the DLC that's going to introduce the new ship, or is that the one that's coming out after?
I watched a video last night. I'm not sure about that, but he told me, I was watching a video, but he was talking to me, the viewer. He said that he has three different development teams now. One working on the Hungering Deep, obviously. And then the other two are working on the other two big... The Cursed Sails and whatever the other one is. I can't remember right now. But there's three different development teams working on each one of those. And like that's their sole mission. And then I'm not sure if he has other development teams working on patches and bugs and all that kind of stuff. He did say that that was their main concern. post-launch because they obviously want to fix some stuff, which
there's
one. I reported a bug the other day. Whenever Will and I are sailing and I want to shoot myself out of the cannon, it'll like shoot me 45 degrees, like not where I'm aiming. And it's just really frustrating. So, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Hungering Demon, seeing what it would bring. But we definitely, like you said, Will, we definitely need a new ship. Like, three people on a galleon's, it's just not enough. You need that fourth person, especially when you're taking on a Skull Fort. Like, that, I mean, if your guy's really, really good on a Skull Fort, you just send him in, right? But yeah.
Well, we have the sloop and we have the galleon. I think the new ship should be a three person. I'm not sure what you'd call that.
I would call it a frigate. So frigate, there's there's like two cannons on each side and two sails. That's what I think it should be.
That would be perfect. I think going by the Hungering Deep, I think this DLC could also refer to something with the Kraken. So far, if you've any of all our listeners have played and they face the Kraken, all you really see is the tentacles. It's not really a hard battle to survive. I really think, because they've talked about adding world bosses, I think a good world boss like that could just randomly spawn in the map, and then you know all the ships could go there and have to fight it, would be a full body Kraken. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, because it's really unfortunate right now that you don't get anything for defeating the Kraken. It's just like you saved your loot, because they only really attack you when you're full on loot.
Yeah, that's true. One of the other world bosses I was thinking of is like the Flying Dutchman or the Ship of the Damned. You have to battle that. That would be pretty cool.
I don't remember. I know I talked to Rodney about this. One time I was playing the Alpha, there was a glitch that allowed some ships to actually float away into the sky, and that's where the Flying Dutchman rumor came from. I remember I was playing once by myself, I think, and this was during the Alpha. They fixed this for the beta and all that, but I remember a ship that was like following behind me just started lifting off into the sky like a hot air balloon. I started like, okay, well, that's a bug I should probably report, but I never did. I'm sure they were aware of it because I looked on videos, and sure enough, they call it now it was called the Flying Dutchman bug. But yeah, I think it would be cool if they started like the Flying Dutchman, the ship maybe chasing you if you beat the Skull Fort. Or you had like a certain amount of loot on the ship or something, you know, you have like, or even introduce the Navy. You know, you've got the pirates now. You don't have anything against them other than other sailors. So it's pirates versus pirates. They have to add some AI into here.
AI Navy would be OP. Like, the skeletons are already OP. I can't even imagine what the Navy would be like if they were AI.
Well, not to mention, too, that if, yeah, like, that would just be so difficult. Like, you'd have to do that, like, tastefully if you want to do that, you know what I mean? Like, if you get a lot of loot or something, or like if the Navy attack you too often, that could just be like getting into like a 3-hour ship battle with the Navy officer or something like that. It's fun when you're doing it against another pirate because you're like, oh man, I want your loot, but like, it all depends on what you're gonna get. Is it gonna be worth it? Like,
well, they could make the Navy officer skeletons as well. They're just more well dressed and well groomed, or whatever, as well groomed as you can get as a skeleton. And then when you beat the admiral or something, you get a, like an admiral skull, and then you turn that in, and that's that's good loot or something, you know.
Yeah, but I, like we've talked about, I really do think Sea of Thieves, not their reputation, because it is a very good game that people enjoy. If it's a game that'll keep people interested, I think the DLC is going to be the huge deciding factor. At least I know it is for me.
Yeah, but like I said, this is still like one of my favorite games. I'm having a lot of... Every time I go on it, I have all sorts of fun. Because, you make your own adventure, right? And, I mean, I understand where people are coming from when they're like, oh, I don't like this game, it's just empty, man. Like, I get it. But, I don't know, I like it. I'm enjoying it, because every time I see a ship, I'm like, I'm going to go sink them, and just because I want to. And then you go and you screw them up and sink them, or you get sunk and then you get salty and you want to go get revenge or whatever. Yeah, so it's just a lot of fun to explore that world. What do you, have you played Sea of Thieves, Alex?
No, but it's me. I used to play a game called Puzzle Pirates. Have you ever played that online? It's kind of the same thing. Like, you're able to like own ships and play different little games in order to sail the ship, and you do battles and you have to chart your way and da da da, same thing. And I think if you add another ship type, you could probably do like an Asian inspired type of ship that could be done with three players. You know what type of ship I'm talking about? They kind of look like the folding fans a little bit.
Alex actually brings up a really good point. So far, all the ships we have are basically the same style, and there's not that much customization. I think moving forward, it would be a great idea to actually introduce different ship styles, not just say like the customization where you're changing the hull or something like that. But yeah, like if you remember from, I guess, Pirates of the Caribbean, the pirate ships were all different depending on the races. Like you had the Chinese pirates, you had the I guess you'd call them the Caribbean pirates, but then you had like the Arabian pirates and all that, and they all had their own style to their ship. Like some were like the big wide ones, then you had the really thin long. I really think Sea of Thieves could really do from having a bit more customization for the ships.
Or maybe they do have it so that you can choose what style you want. Like you can do like a Viking style, or yeah, like the Asian style, or any of those, right?
Yeah, yeah, I was just totally agreeing with the different types of like cultural ships and different types of places in the world. Like a Japanese ship isn't gonna look like a ship that was sailing up the Nile, right? You know, so.
Can you imagine like a Japanese ship in the Nile? And then it's like, you have like a Cleopatra style ship with the oars.
Yeah, okay guys, we should wrap it up. A little off topic today, but we like to BS, and I'm sure you like to hear the BSing of the Video Games Now podcast. So let us know your thoughts on our Facebook page, and we're on Instagram too, guys. We sometimes put pictures on there. I try to put one like at least one a week, but when we go to events and stuff like PAX and Video Games Live. And we're going to go to the Retro Gaming Con. What is it? The Retro...
Video Game Expo. That is in June. End of June.
Yeah.
I think the same day as my birthday. So, yeah, we plan on posting a whole bunch of pictures from that.
And you should do something where you should vote for which console I should get something so I can be a real gamer.
Yeah, I don't know how Mark feels about that. He's got like a bit of a sour looking face.
I like this idea. Mm-hmm. So
it's a great idea.
Yeah. So there's been a huge debate on what console Alex should get. They're thinking getting a Switch because of the couch co-op ability, but then obviously Mark being a PS guy is like, oh, I gotta get the PS4. I gotta get the PS4 because it's all story driven and the graphics and ugh. And then I'm just like Xbox because Xbox is really good. And what do you think, Will?
Well, also the reason the PS4 is because Mark won't allow Alex to play his.
He shares sometimes.
Very rarely, but I do.
He never wants to play Mortal Kombat with me, though.
All right, so we'll throw a poll up on our website and on our Facebook page and our Twitter and all the social media outlets. Let us know which console, and I'm going to put PC on there, and I bet you anything everyone's going to say PC. Go PC.
That's the next purchase, is I want a really good PC.
Yeah, you can go halfers.
I want to go on vacation first. So.
You got to start work soon, and then... You won't have time for vacation.
But there's always time for Mark to buy a PC.
There goes the vacation fund.
Yeah, totally. Okay, guys, thanks a lot. We will see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.